The New Marketing Show is brought to you by Trinity Web Media. Trinity Web Media solves business problems through effective digital marketing. TrinityWebMedia.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the New Marketing Show, the marketing podcast where we talk about how effective marketing solves business problems. As always, I'm joined by Trinity Web Media co-founder Kevin Eberle. Kevin, what's going on?
Greg, how you doing today?
Fantastic. I'm doing great. And we are also joined with Trinity Web Media's Director of Social Media, Tammy Harvey. Tammy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. So, you know, Kevin, last week's episode was such a hit. You know, we were talking about chasing the wrong metrics, chasing vanity metrics, and how business owners really get wrapped up in the minutiae of the wrong things. I think that... And we spent a lot of time talking about how that works with a website. So this week we brought Tammy in and let's talk a little bit more and go into detail about social media and how the wrong metrics in social media, chasing the wrong metrics in social media will A, get you going on the wrong path. And also B, it doesn't prove an ROI. It doesn't show where, you know, how social media marketing is really working for you, et cetera, et cetera. So sure. What do you think of that?
I love it. Makes perfect sense to me.
Sounds great.
Perfect. So, Tammy, let's start with Tam. So, Tammy, when you work with accounts, what do you think that one of the false metrics or one of the vanity metrics that business owners are kind of hung up on, but doesn't really move them towards their business goals?
I think that a lot of businesses are focused on the number of followers they have, which is really insignificant on the conversion that those followers are actually giving that business.
Right. And so when we say followers, typically followers relate to Instagram. I think that Instagram right now is, you know, it has been, but it's the hottest, best social media platform, in my opinion, to kind of get your brand out there. Would you agree, disagree?
I totally agree.
Do you have any other platforms that you really like to work with?
Instagram is my favorite. I mean,
is there a reason?
I don't know. I think that the engagement that you can have with people is really genuine.
People are also very visual. So when, you know, if you do things right, Kevin, and you've always been very, very good at this, people are very visual. People don't read. I've said this for years and years and years. People do not read shit anymore. They scan, they skim, they just cruise through things. So visually, Kev, do you think that you could tell a better story on, you know, when you're using like a platform like Instagram? Do you think it's easier to get a brand message across?
I do. And I don't remember where the stats from, but I did read recently. Research has shown that the human brain can comprehend an image 60,000 or 6,000 times faster, something that's immensely crazy, than you can the written word. So with the super small attention span of the audience nowadays, you've got 4 seconds to get your point across. I mean, I totally see how a platform like Instagram, you know, can convert, eyes on a product to bigger brand goals.
Yeah, that's sort of the goldfish syndrome. You know, somebody said that a goldfish has a new memory every 15 seconds or maybe even 2 seconds or something like that. So imagine that world. I want to live in that world where every 15 seconds it's like, woo, woo, look at the...
Starting over.
Yeah, woo, I can start over. Woo, I can start over every 15 seconds. But Tammy, you know, when people are hung up on followers, and we already agreed that followers is a false metric, can we convert that? Can we also transition that to how many people like their Facebook page or how many people follow them on Twitter? You know, do you think that that has any sort of role when it comes to engagement?
Yes, absolutely.
And what do you think that, do you think that it has to do with a role with engagement being your pool is bigger and you have potential to influence more people? So then if so, followers kind of have a little bit, they do play a role, but if you measure your success on just followers, and if you measure your success on just the number of your audience, don't you think that that's kind of fool's gold? Wouldn't you rather have people contact you and have people, you know, reach out and engage with the brand?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's, I think, I mean, with different platforms, I think there's three types of engagement. You know, there's the follow, which, I mean, there's so many platforms that can auto follow just depending on the hashtags or whatever. Two is actually getting the like, and three is having the click-over rate. You know, that's the main goal of what we're doing.
And the click-through rate, typically, where do you want to take them?
Well, everything goes back to the website. Everything should be going back to their website. The website is the sun in the solar system.
Absolutely, that's a great analogy. I love that. That's my favorite one. I learned that a long time ago. I think James Archer of 40 Agency at that. Of that time told me, you know, kind of related that digital marketing strategy is like a solar system. Everything goes back to the sun.
You know, I think I actually wrote that article for you for Marketing Press.
Ooh. I hope you signed your name.
No offense, James Archer, but no.
Yeah, James Archer is a smart dude too. He's one of my favorite people, and he's taught me a lot. And like, but those conversations.
That came out of our.
I think those conversations I had at maybe 2008, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And where are we here? We're still fighting the same battle. Why do you think that business owners are so hung up when it comes to the vanity metric of followers or the vanity metric of likes?
Because I think they're most of the time, you know, that I experience a business owner, they're not quite informed about A, how it works, B, what a realistic expectation from social media looks like. And again, it's probably our fault as marketers trying to over demonstrate value in what we do.
You know, that's interesting. I think that there are a lot of different theories about why this happens. Tammy, do you have any? What do you think?
I think that people are so hung up on, you know, the vanity metrics of likes or followers because it's instantly measurable.
Great point. It is instantly and everybody else can see it.
Absolutely.
So you as a business owner, if you have some kind of snake oil social media person putting shit in front of you and says, well, look how many followers I have. Well, do you think that they're actually saying, and it's instantly measurable because you can see it right there on the user interface. Mm-hmm. Do you think that same person is saying, well, we have that many followers because
of all the different growth hacking techniques that everyone does?
Or because we follow five times as many?
Absolutely.
And what do you think, I guess here's a question. Do you have a strategy when you go ahead and you execute the strategy that Kevin and I put in place and that you put in place for the brands that we work with? Do you have an ideal number of people that you want to follow to grow the following? Do you have a ratio that you like to think about and coordinate?
I don't really pay attention so much to like a ratio. Obviously, you know, even though there's a little bit of vanity in it, you obviously want more followers than the people that you're following. But I think in part of the strategy, you follow key people in your industry and it automatically pops you up on different platforms as like a suggested account because you're following these accounts. So,
right. And Kevin, do you have any kind of growth tips when it comes to, you know, expanding your social universe like that?
Consistency. Consistency is everything.
Yeah. And is there a frequency or is there anything that you like to, is there any type of frequency or schedule that you like to adhere to make sure that, you know, you're not overposting or you're not underposting, that you're still staying on the radar? And I'll ask the same question. I'll give Tammy an opportunity to answer that also.
Out of the three of us on this room, I'm probably the least active on social media.
So I thought you were going to say you're the least social out of all of us.
Well, I mean, that too, but
I don't know. That's a toss-up, man.
That is a toss-up, yeah.
But, you know, I probably spend the least amount of time actually posting my own things on social media. So I don't think for me, I run that risk, but I know brands who are constantly over broadcasting and, you know, you need to respect your audience's boundary if you're going to stay in that loop.
Right. Tammy, what's your opinion there? How often do you think that you like to what post frequency do you think is healthy for an account?
Well, it depends on what their goals are. You know, I think that's the main thing to look at. I mean, we've had businesses that, you know, will post up to three times a day because that works with the strategy for their brand. There's other brands that are fine posting just one time a day. and you're still going to get different audience views because we use the hashtag strategy. I mean, we have the hashtag strategy for all of our brands. So
right. And that's an important thing too.
You know, so I do go on to come back only because I've got a huge pet peeve when it does come to posting frequency. I will unfollow you instantly if you spam and post 10 things at the same time.
Oh, so, okay. So if you were, okay. So this goes back to like sort of a content issue.
Sure.
So we're sort of off topic with the vanity metrics, which is cool. You know, this is a good social roundtable discussion then. You know, so you think that if, you know, we always talk about content strategy, right? Do you drip a content or do you drop it? Right. The difference being like dripping content is if something is serial and episodic or, you know, in multiple parts, and dropping it is sort of like what I love when your content is highly addictive, like things that I listen to on Netflix, watch on Netflix or different podcasts. You know, like one of my favorite podcasts is Startup, and they just drop like 7 episodes right away because it aligned with the TV show that actually that they have going on. So you're saying that if you have somebody drop too much all at once, you're turned off and you want to, you know, you become closed-minded.
It's not that. I feel like social media needs to be social. And if you're the person that's posting 22 pictures that are so similar in different posts, and, you know, you're the guy in the room who won't shut up so anybody else can talk.
Yeah, you're the guy in the room that's not listening.
Exactly.
Also, do you have any thoughts about dripping or dropping social content?
I mean, I also don't like to be overwhelmed with a bunch of like brands who drop their content. I think it's overwhelming. You know, I feel like I'd like to take that information in over days rather than having it shoved down my throat immediately. You know, it's kind of overkill. I think it's too much.
Is there a reason? Do you think, other than it being too much, do you think that it's one of those situations where it's just like, all right, I see you. Hey, I see you. Okay, you're here. I got it. You know, I got the message. And you would prefer to have like a little bite size along the way rather than a full meal of like what they're serving up when it comes to their stuff.
Well, absolutely. And I think that when they drop content like that, you lose some of the aspects of telling the story. I mean, if a brand is telling a story and you're all of a sudden shoved the whole piece of the story at one time, it kind of loses, you know, the...
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you think, Kev?
I think, you know, you see it on Twitter a lot with like news aggregate things where somebody just puts something in a social media booster and at noon you get 25 things going. Yeah. I just think it's amateurish personally.
That's called doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we've worked with a lot of brands and we actually just stopped working with a brand that has brick and mortar hours. You know, they are open from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., right? Yeah. Do you think that it's important to drop and to publish your content during those business hours? Or do you think that it's also important to maybe have one of your posts be an outlier out of those business hours to kind of bring people in at their own leisure?
I mean, what's the strategy dictate? Who are we reaching?
True, right? That's one thing. But let's have this conversation right now about personal consumption.
Sure.
So how would you prefer to handle that, A, if you're working with the account, Tammy, and then B, at your own personal consumption?
I definitely think it's important to be posting things during business hours because they are running a business. However, I think that if things are posted afterwards, I mean, depending on the hours of the business, if it's, you know, if the business is closing by 6, I think that if something goes to social a little bit later, it's going to be able to give people an opportunity to kind of catch up with the day. You know, we all get busy and with the algorithms and everything else right. going on, a lot of content gets lost in all the noise, you know, and in order for your voice to be heard, it's like, if you do sometimes have that outlier post, I think it will attract attention that people either didn't have the time to see or that, you know,
it didn't get to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Algorithm is a big thing. And that's one thing I think that the amateur social media person who's putting vanity metrics in front of their client, who's saying, hey, you know, look at this. Look how many posts we have. We did 3 posts. We did one at 8, noon, and 4. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to receive those posts at 8, noon, and 4. It means I'm going to receive it when the algorithm goes ahead and dictates what's relevant and what's timely for me.
Guess what I'm doing between 8 and 4 typically?
Yeah, you, well, I hope you're working.
I guess I am. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I might. So while we run a social, you know, digital marketing company and it is centered around that, I'm not really doing my own personal social media during the day. I'm not really interacting with the brands I follow. Most of that's on behalf of clients or research, et cetera.
And like, see, I'm a little bit the other way, where because I'm a little bit more, not by design, I guess just by habit or just by what I like, that I'm a little bit more public facing. So to enhance my personal brand and to enhance the brand of Trinity Web Media, I will post during the day to my social networks, you know, letting people know, hey, I'm recording a podcast right now, or hey, we're doing this, just to give them kind of like a behind the scenes look and insight into my life as it pertains to a digital marketer. I'm a huge, there's no surprise, anybody who knows me, anybody in this room, anybody who, you know, has listened to podcasts, I'm a huge documentary fan.
Oh, yeah.
I love behind the scenes shit. I love knowing why and how things get made. So I tend to create content very, very similarly to that. Do you think that that's valuable for most brands to go ahead and do some of the behind the scenes things?
I love it. It personifies a brand. Without that, a brand is just a logo and a bunch of people in a room.
And a product, and a product is selling, and not necessarily a problem that they're solving. What do you think, Tammy, about behind the scenes?
I think behind the scenes is really great, because I think that's what kind of humanizes the brand. You get to see what people are doing and how they're working, and you know all the effort and energy that goes into the brand and what they're doing, and even the passion. I mean, I think it really helps.
The blood, sweat, and tears that goes into
I think it forwards the story a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that this is, you know, this episode is kind of turned from vanity metrics, which is, you know, which we hit on last week, to kind of like social media storytelling, which is fantastic. You know, I think that, you know, the story that I am trying to tell is, how do you get people to know what problem you can solve for them? And then how do you get people to know, like, and trust you? You know, the buying cycle, and speaking at WordCamp San Diego, I hit a lot on this, is the buying cycle in my mind is solve a problem, know, like, trust, buy, repeat, refer. That's the whole thing. And I got most of that from John Jantz at Duct Tape Marketing, which is, you know, he talks about try, buy, repeat, refer. You know what I mean? And that's one of those things where it's just like, now you're going to add what we always talk about, the problem solving and know, like, and trust.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So what are realistic expectations that, you know, and problems that social media can tackle?
So I think that brand visibility.
Certainly.
I think that you have an opportunity to demonstrate how you're a subject matter expert and what problems you've already solved for people who look like your ideal client. Okay. And then also, I think that there's a huge story to be told just about the overarching brand story. You know, without the brand story, you're just, like you said, you know, you're a logo and a product and a bunch of people, you know. And when you go ahead and really focus on solving the problem, you really, really focus on how you can help people. Now you're not Trinity Web Media. You're an extension of their team.
Exactly.
And I think that when you can become an extension of somebody else's team, that's when sort of the magic happens. And the collaboration that we talk about, that we preach, and all the other good shit. So
you and I were talking about something, and you said something pretty profound to me on the phone today in an unrelated conversation, but you know, you kind of look like you've begun to look at social as a living, breathing, evolving brochure that presents your audience exactly what you do, who you are, and the problems you can solve.
Yeah, and I stole that from Jay Baer years ago, because Jay Baer, when he was running Mighty Interactive, one of the very first interactive web agencies, interactive marketing agencies in like 1999, he would say, everybody needs a website. Your website is your living, breathing brochure on the internet. You know, and over time, it's evolved. You know, we went from the web to Web 1.1, Web 1.0 to Web 2.0, now where we are. And I think that the more that you can let people in, and I'm talking about being as transparent as you're comfortable, as straight up as being comfortable, the ups and downs, the ebb and flows of a daily life, of a daily business. You know, I think that there are tons of problems that can just be solved by being fucking human. You know what I mean? So let me throw that question. Let me take that question and let's toss it to Tam. What do you think that some of the problems that could be solved when you're working with social?
Well, I think definitely brand recognition is one of the things, establishing their brand, and visibility definitely.
And if you do those two things correctly, if your brand starts to get, if your brand's more visible and your brand can be recognized more, you know, you have an opportunity to connect with people to help solve their problem.
Absolutely.
So let's wrap this up here by, let's talk about, like, Kevin, give me three of your favorite social accounts, although you're not that social. Tammy, you give three and I'll give three. And like, and let's talk about it in goal terms that we can kind of see what they're doing. And the goals, you know, are just like what we're talking about when we talk about goals of websites. Goals for content and positioning, and to demonstrate you can solve a problem. Goals for conversion, you know, because there are definitely some of that. And then also goals to create a community around your product, service, and brand. So who wants to go first? All right, Kevin, you go first.
All right. So the three social media accounts that I love, so we also highlighted these on a Trinity Web Media shout out on our website a few months ago, but Basil Bandwagon, local supermarket in Flemington, they do a great educational job, funny, great personality on there. Zach and Zoe Honey out of Stockton, New Jersey. Some of the most amazing or original visuals of, you know, telling that brand story. And Surf Taco.
Oh, Surf Taco right down the street from us.
Yeah. So, you know, I that's one of the brands I when I get down the shore, I typically hit a Surf Taco or whatever. It's part of the ritual. And
yeah. And I like to it's interesting. They each have a different story to tell. As Biggie Small says, I got a story to tell. His story is a little different than those. Do you have three, Tam?
So some of my favorite social accounts, I just did a social shout out to Better Buzz. It's my local coffee roaster. It's my favorite. I love it. I also follow the Dodo. That's another one of my accounts. It's all about animals and like people being kind with animals and how really who saves who when you adopt an animal. Because I love animals.
The Dodo is a great account.
Yes, it gives me warm fuzzies every day. I love to start my morning that way. And then also because I was doing a lot of work with the cafes, I followed Portola Coffee House, which is based in Orange County. I'm out there every week, and I really love the ambiance and everything that they do. I think that they do an excellent job of identifying their audience, and just the strategy that they have in play just makes so much sense. And I think they execute it really, really well.
So with Portola, real quick, before I jump into my three, if you have never been to their coffee shop, right? And I've never been, right? But I see that they're social stuff because you pointed out to me. I get a sense that I have been there before. I get a sense that I know when I walk in to their organization that I know what I'm in store for. Do you feel the same thing?
Well, absolutely. I think that they do a really good job of identifying the types of people that would be their target audience. So, you know when you're going to into the coffee place, like you can either get that cup of coffee to go. It's great for work. You can bring your friends and sit there and chat, and it's still a great ambiance. And, you know, I think the message throughout is that you're still going to have that excellent cup of coffee.
So it's a brand. So it's congruent with the brand.
Oh, absolutely. Everything is perfect. I think they do a spectacular job.
Yeah, I guess my three would be, you know, I'm a big music fan. So I would say what Wilco does with their social media. Wilco is a band out of Chicago, one of my favorite bands of all time. And they do a lot of behind the scenes stuff of them recording new records or of them going ahead and just letting you in behind that red velvet rope, or like behind the all powerful curtain of Oz. But the thing is like, when you see that, you realize that they're five normal dudes.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely love, because that makes them more relatable to me than these big rock stars. And, you know, and sticking with the motif of music, Jimmy Eat World, the band from Tempe, Arizona, does a great job too. Like today I saw something where Jim Atkins was crowdsourcing and, you know, getting set lists ready for his new upcoming tour. And then the last one, I think, being being a sports fan, you know, things like Bleacher Report, they do a good job of their social, because what they do is they've created a community around things that really, really has them positioned as a news source for different things. But they don't position it like ESPN. I'm so over ESPN and all, everyone on air, ESPN wants to be a fucking comedian. You know, they're no longer like a valuable news source to me. Like Bleacher Report gives it to me in memes and different like Ripple, you know, Ripple RIPL type style content and little micro bits and pieces. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. You know, this has been a great topic. We kind of started out about vanity metrics, but I think we went down a different rabbit hole on a different path, talking about, you know, why social is important, kind of social storytelling and everything else. Kevin, anything in wrapping up?
No, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us.
And Tammy, do you have anything in closing?
Yeah, going back to the vanity metric, it's funny when people who aren't actually marketers think that they can, you know, do the job of professionals. Mm-hmm. And going back to vanity metrics, it's easy to be a trollop on the gram and, you know, have X amount of followers because, you know, if you're fully exposed on Instagram, guess what? Those follows that come, and that doesn't convert to anything.
I 100% agree. And we touched on that briefly last week. I totally, totally agree. Just because you like to tweet, just because you know how to post to a social media account, does not make you a marketer. And I think that we've seen that in our business, where some people have wanted to take over accounts because they like to do things. And I'm all for putting people in play, like to do things, but not everybody can execute a strategy.
Not until you can, you know, explain how they achieve brand goals and bigger business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey everybody, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you listening. Without you, we would just be three people talking a bunch of nonsense, I guess. So, hey, if you like our podcast, please feel free to rate and review it on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next time, Tammy, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Kevin, until next time.
Have a great day, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right.